You are listening to the SmackDown Breakdown with Atlee Green and Adam Cohn.
Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for coming here to the Gerwick.net YouTube page and over at Gerwick.net, wherever you're listening to this. My name is Adam Cohn, and you may be wondering, why is he in the host chair? Well, this is your Blue Brand Experience. However, our host, Atlee Green, is sitting in the co-host chair today because he's feeling a little bit under the weather.
This is true. We didn't have an episode of the SmackDown Breakdown last week because I had the flu, among other things, and if you guys can hear me, you can probably tell I'm still talking through my nose. I can't have long conversations, so instead of me talking for long periods of time and coughing everybody's ear, I decided, you know what, let Adam have the big boy seat this week and I'll sit in the little kid's chair, and we'll go from there.
That's right. So that is Atlee Green, the Slam Master himself. And Atlee, are you feeling better?
I'm feeling better, but not 100% better.
Well, we have to get it there. You have to feel better. And when all else fails, just get the crap out of this, you know, sickness, so to speak.
Well, I have a show this weekend, so I kind of have to be there and run point and book the matches and whatnot, so I got to be there, Adam.
That's right. So why don't you take 2 seconds and plug that show, if anyone might be out here in the area that still need tickets.
Before we talk about this past episode of SmackDown, just a little plug for Alchemania 4, which is a charity pro wrestling event that I put on every year. This is the 4th annual Alchemania event, where all proceeds are donated to the Elks National Foundation, and particularly their scholarship, youth services, and veteran initiatives. So if you're in the Massachusetts area, come on out to Beverly, Massachusetts. Tickets are $10 in advance, $12 at the door. It's going to be a fun time. It's going to be a fun event. 30-man North Shore Rumble, a la Royal Rumble-style match, determine the new Bay State champion. So it's going to be a great time for all involved. And if you're in the area, please come and check it out.
That's right. I'll be there as well. I'll be the timekeeper. Atlee's running things backstage. And y'all know by listening to this podcast, if we're running things, oh, it's either going to be very fun or it can be a car wreck real quickly. And we're hoping it is the former. So, because you guys haven't heard us for a few weeks, I'm going to go run into my thoughts on WWE Backlash, which was SmackDown Live's first show-only pay-per-view, no Raw to be seen. So we're just going to get into the matches here. I'm just going to give a few points. Atlee, I'm going to direct them as well. If they want to hear your thoughts, they can head over and listen to your recap show following Backlash, which is available at Gerwick.net. That is GERWECK.net, Gerwick.net. So kickoff show was Corbin versus Cruz, and I honestly have no idea where they're going with this thing. We've seen it now. Kickoff show, SmackDown, SmackDown. If they're making this a feud, they're burying the heck out of Cruz. He's not getting over at all. There's no reaction. And quite honestly, if they're going to do this, can we just write him off TV so he can go and figure out a character and come back and try something? That's what I would like to see him do. Now we get into the meat and potatoes of WWE Backlash. And Becky Lynch is the inaugural WWE SmackDown Women's Champion. And congratulations, Becky. It is well-earned, well-deserved, and quite honestly, good for you. You've worked hard for it, and it's nice to see you finally get that championship that's eluded you for quite a few years now since you've been in WWE, so kudos to you. We had our rematch of the semifinals because SmackDown the prior week, the Usos took out American Alpha, and they were unable to compete at Backlash. So the Usos took on the Hype Bros in a second chance challenge, of which the Usos were victorious. Now, I like this a lot because the Usos came out and showed a heel side that they really haven't shown since they've been in WWE, and it's nice to see a little bit of a reinvigoration. Then we head on to the Intercontinental Championship match, which featured The Miz versus Dolph Ziggler, in which The Miz won and retained his Intercontinental Championship. Now, this match was really good start to finish. However, Miz wins like a heel, and Atlee, if I'm not mistaken, it was some sort of substance that Maryse sprayed in Ziggler's face.
That's right, she sprayed hairspray in Dolph Ziggler's face for the 1-2-3. It was a good match, I thought, back and forth, and then just when you thought the Miz wasn't going to go to his cowardly ways, Maryse jumps in, sprays the hairspray, skull-crushing finale, 1-2-3.
Next, we head on to Bray Wyatt, just out in the ring, ready to have a count-out victory over Randy Orton, and then all of a sudden Kane comes out in a no-holds-barred match that just seemed a bit forced because Randy Orton was still not medically cleared to compete. All reports have indicated, I think it was either before and after the show, so this was a way to, you know, keep Bray Wyatt on the card, but I thought this was just in a very awkward spot. But then we get to the finals of the SmackDown Tag Team Championship Tournament, which saw Heath Slater and Rhino defeat the Usos to become the first ever SmackDown Tag Team Champions. And this is where I got to go off, because, Ali, I felt so bad. I was blowing up your phone when I was watching this.
And for you guys listening, when Adam sent me a text message right after the finish at Backlash, I could feel the heat radiating from my phone just on the text message alone, so viewer discretion may be advised.
Right. You may want to skip over a couple of minutes until I get to the next segment, because warning, 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 host about to go off. So as much as I've given, you know, Eva Marie a lot of crap for her entrances and everything else when I went off on that, this to me here warranted absolutely no reason for Heath Slater and Rhino to become the inaugural SmackDown Tag Team Champions. I want to tell you why. We saw Kevin Owens and Finn Balor become the first two WWE Universal Champions, Finn becoming the inaugural champion. Dude is a megastar and is going to get his rocket to the moon push if it wasn't for that horribly knee injury. Actually, it was a shoulder injury. Some sort of injury that he suffered, unfortunately, took him out of action. I think it was a shoulder injury. You had Becky Lynch become the first ever SmackDown Women's Champion. And Heath Slater and Rhino defeat the Usos to become SmackDown Tag Team Champions. Now, I'm not knocking Heath Slater and Rhino. I'm not knocking them at all. I'm knocking the creative decision to put it on Heath Slater and Rhino when the Usos have been in this company for quite a few years now, have, in my opinion, last few years helped continue to make the division somewhat relevant, because the tag division on the main roster, as opposed to NXT, has been hurting for a while. And when I hear the Usos, I think WWE Tag Team Division. And quite honestly, when you're inaugurating a quote-unquote inaugural champion, that should go to people where it's a prestigious title to hold. Unless you're putting rockets on Heath Slater and Rhino's back, which I just don't see right now, there was no reason for it. The Usos should have became that. Heath Slater could have continued to go off into the free agent gimmick, or you could have did it and shot put it to him on a SmackDown. But the inaugural, the first ever, when you go back in the history books, it's going to say Heath Slater and Rhino. It is not going to say the Usos. It's not going to say American Alpha. It's not even going to say the Hype Bros. It's going to say Heath Slater and Rhino won the first ever SmackDown Live Tag Team Championships. I question the creative decision behind this.
Well, Adam, if you remember from this week's episode of SmackDown, it's actually going to say Beauty and the Man Beast.
We're going to get into that a little bit later in this show, but right now we're going to go into my thoughts on the main event where I lost it, I marked out, and again, I live in an apartment complex, and you know, Atlee, pretty much, I think you live in an apartment, you get neighbors below you, you know how close those floors are together? Sometimes how voices can travel. I was hoping I wasn't going to get knocks at my door going, keep it down. Because AJ Styles defeated Dean Ambrose to become the WWE World Champion. And it's about time. I don't care if he cheated to win. Let me say that again, because this is something that just still sounds weird. AJ Styles is the WWE World Champion. He's not the TNA World Champion. He's not the TNA X Division Champion. He's not the IWGP Heavyweight Champion. He is the WWE World Champion, and it's about damn time. 9 months since he debuted at the Royal Rumble back beginning of this year, he's been put in main event after main event after main event, because that is what he is. He is the main event. His character progression in terms of his promos have been like night and day. From when you watched him starting to where he is now, it's like night and day, and it's about time. I don't care if he won by a heel. JBL mentioned some comment, you know, how can you be proud of like AJ Styles? Or he mentioned something about, you know, is it a tarnished victory? I don't care if he has the title. Who cares? He's the WWE World Champion, and Atlee, I couldn't be more happy.
No, I think you share the sentiment that a lot of fans have, that AJ Styles is the world champion of WWE, which is something you thought you'd never hear, especially when you hear the internet rumors throughout the years that WWE doesn't consider AJ Styles a good wrestler, they don't think he's a good worker, they think he's a flippy-dippy spot guy and whatnot, and now he's their top champion, so kudos to AJ Styles. I mean, we'll see how he does as the champion going forward. But let's actually transition to the World Championship scene on SmackDown, Adam, for a little bit, where the main event for SmackDown was Dean Ambrose going over on John Cena, clean, fair and square, in the middle of the ring. And as you know, Dean Ambrose, John Cena, and AJ Styles are going to square off in the main events of No Mercy for the title. So interesting development seeing John Cena lose clean to Dean Ambrose, and I think that really just answers a lot of questions I had about Dean Ambrose as well as John Cena. But Adam, what were your thoughts on this?
I say we should go take this back a week to last week's SmackDown, where I got really nervous real quickly when Cena comes out, and I'll take a little bit out of Becky's book. He shot some straight fire at both Dean and Styles and started doing that number 16 at Lee. And as soon as I heard he wants to get that 16, I'm like, uh-oh. I'm like, here we go. I'm like, please tell me he's not politicking backstage to get the 16th win and is just going to totally crush Styles and Ambrose. And no, come to find out, let's fast forward one more week. He loses cleanly to Dean Ambrose. And Atlee, to your point, I think this did answer a lot of questions about Dean Ambrose to me, and I think to you and a lot of the fans, because I'm like, okay, Cena's back in the picture, probably presents the biggest threat, but you know, they've done a lot with Ambrose. They've tried pushing him as a main event guy, didn't even think twice about it. Pinned Cena 1-2-3 clean in the middle of the ring, and I'm like, damn, that's something that we were like, okay, Styles pinned him cleanly, Ambrose just did it on a SmackDown. And I gotta tell you, this just leaves me with more questions as to, are they gonna take it off Styles? I don't think they are, not for quite a while, but I think this just further establishes Dean Ambrose as an actual threat over Cena to take off that championship off Styles. If you were to tell me a competitor that would be believable, that pin over Cena made me think Ambrose, then Cena.
No, that's definitely a good way to look at this, Adam, because not only did Dean Ambrose beat John Cena clean, but he beat him out of the blue where Cena went for the AA, Ambrose reversed it into a roll-up for the win, and it was a 10-minute match on TV. And John Cena sold that loss the same way he sold his loss to The Rock at, I believe, WrestleMania 28 in Orlando, where he was just, Miami, excuse me, where he was just so shocked that he lost to The Rock after talking all this trash about being, Rock's part-time performer, blah, 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 blah. And now Dean Ambrose is the one talking trash about John Cena as being the part-time performer, and John Cena loses. So I think it definitely puts an interesting shadow on John Cena, but it also puts some oomph back into the character of Dean Ambrose, because you got to remember, at Backlash, he got a lot of boos. And a lot of people liked the fact that he was world champion, but there are a few people that really weren't happy with his world title run, I being one of them. I just thought he came off as like a weirdo that maybe want to change the channel more times than not, even though I'm still a Dean Ambrose guy. But I think WWE realizes that, hey, you know, some people's not a turn on Dean Ambrose. He's one of our most popular acts. We can't really have that happening. So let's do something to kind of, put the brakes on these boos and get people cheering together in unison. And one way to do that is have him beat John Cena clean out of nowhere, because you never expect John Cena's going to lose clean on TV. And that's exactly what happened. And that also really just really strengthens the SmackDown brand as a whole, because if you can say, wow, if John Cena is going to lose clean on TV and that happened on SmackDown, that means anything can happen on SmackDown. And hopefully that will make for more viewers, especially coming up next week, where it's going to be Dean Ambrose taking on AJ Styles for the world title in a singles match.
Yeah, and I think that's going to pose a very interesting tidbit leading into No Mercy. Who is going to be the champion heading in? Because Dean Ambrose just beat Cena clean, 1-2-3, with a roll-up, as you said. And now, is he going to do it to Styles, and you're going to hot-shot it to Ambrose, and then maybe hot-shot it back to Styles at No Mercy? It leaves a very interesting question marks, and it was a nice cliffhanger actually coming off a TV show to make me wonder, is AJ actually going to lose next week? But, Atlee, you know what else is very interesting right now? And I think it's time we go back and revisit this tag title situation, because I got to tell you, again, I'm not knocking Heath Slater and Rhino. However, I do like what Heath Slater and Rhino have done these 2 weeks leading into today's show. Well, Tuesday's show, as I'm recording this on Wednesday night. I like what Heath Slater has done with his character. I like what the Rhino just backing him up, just being that raw muscle and this, that, like, weird, quirky friend that's still going to defend him. And I think Slater's starting to try and find his own groove. He's trying to get over with the fans more. I've been one of his biggest, you know, naysayers because, you know, you've had Slater around for years, and while he is a decent worker in the ring, they've never really done much with him. You've put him in the low card. You know, he's been associated with mega factions before, the Core, the Nexus, you know, Social Outcast, 3MB, and you've just put him in these different gimmicks. But now you've given him the inaugural SmackDown Tag Team Championships at Rhino. Push him a bit. Let's see where it goes. And you know where it's going. Into a out-of-nowhere match versus the returning American Alpha versus the Usos in a number one contender match that wasn't even really advertised, which didn't make any sense to me. But, Ali, I know you get a few thoughts on this, so take it away, brother. Tell us what you think of this match.
I really liked this match from start to finish. It wasn't a blow-away five-star classic by any stretch of the imagination, but it told the story that it needed to tell, and it told the story very well. Where basically, you had the Usos once again beat American Alpha in a way where they beat him clean, but the bigger story here is that Chad Gable came back way too soon. So therefore, it doesn't diminish American Alpha's, you know, stature and status as characters because they lost once again to the Usos. I think now that when they wrestle the Usos again, it's going to be even a bigger pop, a bigger moment, once they finally beat the Usos and things go their way. But I like how Gable and Jordan sold everything because I saw the intensity on their faces when they walked into the ring, and then they really didn't do anything once they got in the ring, and I was so scared because I've been to so many different independent wrestling shows, Adam, where you have the big screen hype a blood feud between two wrestlers, or they just hype the fact that two wrestlers hate each other. And then what happens with the bell rings, the two wrestlers, the first thing they do when the bell rings, they lock up. And
yep.
I'm thinking to myself, if you do not like the other guy legitimately across the way from you, you are not going to lock up in a friendly catch-as-catch-can wrestling match once the bell rings. And I loved it. As soon as the bell rang, Chad Gable shot immediately in, like greased lightning, for a double leg takedown. I started pounding away on the Uso. So I loved it, and I just loved the end of the match where Chad Gable's knee gave out on the apron, and then Jason Jordan made the decision to not tag Gable because he's like, you know what, my boy's not ready. I got to stay in this match. And then, boom, caught the super kick, frog splash, 1, 2, 3. And I got to tell you, these two teams work very well together, and they worked with each other a couple times on SmackDown. They're probably working together on house shows quite a bit. And these two have a nice flow together where it almost seems like these two teams are made to work with each other. And I can't wait until these guys have their moment where they get to work a 10-15 minute match on TV or on a pay-per-view where there's no gimmick, no injury involved, no big story to kind of keep the Usos, you know, as heels, just let them go. Because when that moment happens, I'm going to be all smiles. I think a lot of fans are going to be all smiles as well.
Allie, it's going to be magic, and it's going to be special. And you know what it's also going to be? It's going to be surprising to see who wins. You know what else is surprising, Allie? The women's title picture right now, because Becky Lynch needs a challenger. And out of the five right now that are able to wrestle, Alexa Bliss emerges out of the five-pack challenge on SmackDown this week. And Allie, I've talked about Alexa Bliss on this podcast, you know, the past few times, how it was really telling to me that she's had some very, very clean pins over some of the more established veterans. And I gotta tell you, I'm very, very happy to see Alexa getting the first shot at Becky's title. I don't think she takes it off of her, but I think this is only going to help further Alexa's not only career, but it's going to help further her character. And I'm going to tell you why. When Becky was cutting promos, it was, Becky, I know you can cut a better promo than this on what she's been doing with the Becky Balboa, and she's just happy to be champion. Alexa Bliss came in and, I mean business, I'm here, I'm taking that damn thing off you. There's nothing you can do and say to stop me. And it's like, whoa, now that's the Alexa I want to see. That's character development that I want to see from her on a week-to-week basis. And if she can continue to hone that, Atlee, I think we're going to see a future champion in Alexa Bliss.
I think we're definitely going to see a future champion, Alexa Bliss, too. I don't think it's going to happen at No Mercy, but I do like the promo where Becky came out, as you said, did her Becky Balboa thing. Alexa Bliss came out for the contract signing and started talking about how, you know, she was born to be a champion and Becky Lynch wasn't because of the fact that, you know, she's always been the underdog, which WWE has portrayed her as the ultimate underdog, never always just falls short of winning the big one and finally won the big one at Backlash to become the SmackDown Women's Champion, the inaugural SmackDown Women's Champion. And usually when they do those whole things, I was made to be a champion and you weren't, they go really inside. They start using inside terms. They start making reference, subtle references to some of the internet reports whenever you hear something like that. And I'm glad they didn't do that this time. It was just manufactured and it came off well. And I like how Becky Lynch, instead of just saying, you know, disagreeing, you know, like a brat, she just owned it. She goes, you know what? I wasn't born to be a champion. I was born to grow up in a small house in Dublin. But you know what? I watched too much TV, and I believe that when they said that you can do anything, you work hard for it. And guess what? I did. I worked hard for it, and I'm now the champion. And I think Alexa Bliss is a great first competitor because they wrestled each other 3 times on SmackDown. 2 singles matches and 1 tag team match where Alexa Bliss has actually beat her twice. And they really work well together. And when you have a new division of SmackDown where you have 2 new wrestlers in Alexa Bliss and Carmella, and you need them to get better, I think putting Alexa Bliss in this particular spotlight where you're not having 6 wrestlers, it's just her and Becky one-on-one, I think that's really going to give her a lot of experience. And I think she's holding her own right now as far as the character work goes. And her and Becky, again, they work well together, and I think they're going to work even better with each other come No Mercy.
I do, and it's going to be a fun match, and quite honestly, that could be a show-stealing match. As much as you can say, you know, the world title match is going to be a show-stealer, it would not blow the roof off the doors if we see Alexa and Becky just tear the house down. Because these two girls can go when they've been given the opportunity to.
Oh no, because when you look at Backlash, the opening match was that 6-pack challenge, and that was match of the night until AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose came on. Heck, I'll even say the first 10 minutes of Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles, I was still saying that the women's match was match of the night, and then Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles just turned it up to that, you know, that extra level, and they just went all out for it. So this very well could be match of the night, and some people may say, how the hell is Alexa Bliss going to be in match of the night? Where I understand where that criticism could come from. Again, she works very well with Becky Lynch, and Becky Lynch is truly one of the greatest female wrestlers on the planet today, and those two particular ingredients are going to make for what I think is going to be an excellent match.
Well, I completely agree with you. Now, as we're winding down here on the SmackDown Breakdown, folks, we're going to get into one last topic, and we've talked about this before, but it's the ratings topic. And Atlee, lead us away, brother.
Well, first, before we talk about ratings, Adam, I got to throw an audible at you.
Okay.
And it's going to be an audible that you're shocked about. That's going to shock you.
No, Atlee, I am not debuting on SmackDown to face Curt Hawkins.
No, you're going to be shocked at what I have to say.
Okay.
I was impressed with Baron Corbin this week.
Oh!
Now, I am not the biggest Baron Corbin fan by any stretch of the imagination. And
we know I am the lone Baron Corbin fan.
You are the Baron Corbin fan, the only Baron Corbin fan, but I liked it. He showed an intensity in his match with Apollo Crews that he hasn't shown in a while. It was almost like the NXT intensity from the entrance, to the way he stared down Apollo Crews, the way he stared down Jack Swagger at ringside doing commentary. And I just loved when he threw Apollo Crews outside the ring and then just put him over the barricade, ringside barricade, and just started hammering away with elbows. And the camera shot was just right, where it looked like he was just hammering away at the back of the neck of Apollo Crews, like vicious form at the vicious form at the vicious forearm. And I liked the gimmick where he threw Apollo Crews into the post, and then he jumped up and did that swinging drop kick into the ribs, so it's like you double down on the ribs. The drop kick hits the left side of the ribs, and Crews' ribs on the right side get crushed by the pole. And I loved it. And I was like, you know what? If he can show that type of intensity and do those type of moves every match, I think Baron Corbin is going to be going places. I really do. And plus, they're having him set up with Jack Swagger to get him some more heat, to heat him up more when he beats the newcomer. So I got to stand up and applaud Baron Corbin. I was very happy with what I saw this week.
There we go. Atlee, there's plenty of room on the Baron Corbin bandwagon. It is bare, and I am leading the charge, and I've been leading the charge for a while. And I'm glad to see that what I've seen in Corbin since really from the inception of when he was repackaged and he came back as the Lone Wolf on NXT TakeOver, I believe it was Fatal 4-Way. And then my stepbrother Mike and I actually went out to a house show for NXT back up in Albany a few years back. And I remember saying to Mike, I'm like, that's the Corbin I want to see on TV. And why am I not getting that on my TV right now? Because Corbin wrestled a match, and it was like, why am I not seeing this wrestler, Baron Corbin? I don't want to see the one that comes out and squashes someone in like 20 seconds. he wrestled a really good match. And to me, maybe that's why I've been on the Baron Corbin hype train a little bit longer than everyone else, is because I saw the potential from just that house show. Like, this dude can work, he can sell, he can go, and he has the it factor to me. He has an intensity that, to me, you have to have it. Not to take Jericho's, he has to have it. You know, he has that something that he showed to me in that house show that I'm like, I can get behind this guy. And the more I kept that house show in the back of my mind, every time I watched him on NXT TV, it may have been the reason I've been so high on Corbin for a long, long time. When I think, you know, you're finally seeing what I've seen in Corbin for a while, and that is an intensity that right now, I don't really see in a lot of other wrestlers on the roster right now. Like, if he would have really turned that up to an 11, you know, he could just stop plowing through anybody.
No, I feel you, and I'm not ready to jump on the Baron Corbin bandwagon just yet, or the Baron Corbin train, but I am at the train station right now, and I'm looking at the menu, and I'm checking out ticket prices. So I definitely, that's where I'm at right now with Baron Corbin. But let's talk about ratings. The ratings came out for SmackDown, which was last night, or this past Tuesday, September 20th, which emanated from the Legacy Arena in Birmingham, Alabama. And it's been 9 weeks since the new era of WWE kicked off, and SmackDown got its lowest rating to date of the new era of 2,292,000 viewers. And I am noticing a particular pattern here, because whenever Raw does really good, SmackDown does really good, or even does better than it normally would do. But when Raw does bad, SmackDown does really bad too. And because of the fact that WWE is really going to be pushing the world title match between Dean Ambrose and AJ Styles next Tuesday, I'm wondering if they're nervous about the ratings, and they should be, because if my theory is correct, that means if Raw does a bad rating, SmackDown's going to do a bad rating. And next week on Raw, it's the night after Night of Champions, so usually there's a bump in ratings from Monday Night Raw the night after a pay-per-view, but they have some competition, because Adam, as we talked about before we hit the record button here at Gerwick.net, it's premiere season. All the shows that we love are premiering for the fall season, and on Sunday, there are a lot of popular shows premiering for the fall season. Bob's Burgers, Once Upon a Time, The Simpsons, NCIS LA, Son of Zorn, Secrets and Lies, Family Guy, The Last Man on Earth, and Quantico. Those are all shows that are having their season premiere during the time Night of Champions is on. And being that Raw has had low ratings week after week after week, heading in, especially this week, heading into Night of Champions, it's kind of like Raw is not, you know, many people's top choice of programming, and Night of Champions might not be either, especially with the competition they have going into Sunday with all these premieres happening. Now, on Monday, there are two premieres. You have Vice News Tonight on HBO, and you have the regular show on Comedy Central. Those are two shows that have a cult following that are going to be premiering during the same time that Raw will kick off at 8 o'clock on the USA Network. But there are two other big things that are happening as well on Monday, which is the Monday Night Football, as well as the presidential debate. The first one between Hillary Clinton and Donald Trump. Now, because Donald Trump has just been a very polarizing figure during this election, and it's Monday Night Football, a lot of people are going to be watching both, especially that debate. And as a result, Raw could very well get the lowest rating it's ever had in its history. That's what people are predicting. It very well got the lowest rating in the history that it's been a television show since 1993. If my theory is correct about SmackDown doing bad, if Raw does bad, that means if Raw does a very, very bad rating, and that's worse than this week's, SmackDown may very well do a worse rating than it did this week, and that's definitely not a good sign, especially with WWE promoting and hopefully saying, hey, if you loved AJ Styles and Dean Ambrose at Backlash, then you're going to love it even more on free TV, and they're really promoting it. So WWE is really putting all their SmackDown eggs in the basket of those two wrestlers, and I think it's a shame if my theory is correct. I hope I'm wrong, but if I'm correct, that means WWE has not done a good job yet as far as brand separation. They still haven't really gotten into public consciousness that Raw and SmackDown are two separate shows, two separate entities with two different feels. People very much look at the WWE product still as a whole, no matter what show you're watching. So if Raw was not your cup of tea, then you're probably going to think, okay, I didn't like Raw after watching for 3+ hours, so I'm not going to sit down the next night for another 2 hours and watch WWE, even though it's supposed to be a different show, different wrestlers, and everything else in between. So that's what I fear is happening with these ratings and with the perception of the fans as far as WWE's brand split is concerned. I could be wrong, Adam, but I hope I am wrong on this one.
I hope you're wrong on this one too. I mean, let's go back to, you know, days of the Attitude Era when SmackDown meant something. Attitude Era is ending, and you have Cena, Angle. You know, I wasn't watching the product back then, but I know SmackDown was its own thing, Raw was its own thing, and you wanted to tune into both, right? But it's going to take some time to get people to realize, you know, shit, SmackDown's its own thing again. And, you and I were talking before, if SmackDown keeps the same rating, that's a win. That is a win for WWE. It's a win for SmackDown. It's a win for USA if they can maintain the same thing. Because I got to tell you, earlier today, before we were recording this podcast, my wife and I were sitting down. We were watching Bull, Michael Weatherly's new show on CBS, which I highly, 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 highly encourage everyone to go at least watch that pilot episode. Michael Weatherly is absolutely fantastic. You'll know him as Agent DiNozzo from NCIS. And it's so nice to see him in a lead role. As much as I loved him in NCIS, it's nice to see him in this. And the show itself is very, very fun. It's funny at times, but it's definitely a unique take. I highly recommend going to see it and watch it. However, Atlee, that's on Tuesday nights as well. And if Bull starts getting a following, you have NCIS and Bull. And I think Tuesday nights is also where Empire is. And I mean, no, Empire is a very, very big show. So now not only does Raw have to worry about Monday Night Football, you're going to have to start worrying about all these new fall seasons starting. And we're going to see where they go. And I think, Atlee, you and I are going to revisit this next week on the podcast. And really, we'll be able to get a feel after like Mega Premiere Week. And we will get to next week and see what's up. Speaking of wrestling, I'm going to throw in an audible at you. Because, Atlee, we were go ahead and asking questions earlier. So my buddy Eric Hrubes, he had an interesting point about SmackDown. You know, been seeing a lot of Daniel Bryan. Maybe getting a little sick and tired of seeing so much Daniel Bryan on his TV. Maybe feel like he's taking a little bit of the spotlight. What say to you with all the Daniel Bryan spotlight that's not the GM in this whole Miz angle?
I actually like what they're doing with Daniel Bryan right now, because they're teasing the fact he may come back, which he's probably not going to unless a miracle happens and he gets better and heals from his injuries, which his injuries are very difficult to properly heal from, considering you're talking about a brain injury. But I like the fact that we see him more than Shane, because when it comes to, you know, sports, you have the general manager running the front office, running the day-to-day operations. And then you see the commissioner when shit's about to go down. So I don't like the fact that each and every week, for the most part, especially on Raw, you had Stephanie and Mick Foley side-by-side making decisions together. I really think they should have the GMs do their thing and then only see Stephanie and Shane when business is about to go down, because that was one of the allures of Vince McMahon. Actually, that's why Vince was one of the biggest draws in the history of wrestling, because when back in the day, when you saw him on your television screen, you knew, okay, don't change that channel. Watch those damn commercials, because when we come back, something big's going to go down. And I really think you could recapture that if you put Shane and Stephanie in a similar role. But, you know, I think what they're doing with Daniel Bryan is fine.
Yeah, no, I completely agree. Now, Atlee, what do you say we get a nice, you know, tie a nice bow on this podcast and we call it an evening? So, folks, we thank you for tuning in here to the SmackDown Breakdown at Gerwerk.net. Atlee, plug Gerwerk. Take it away. How do you spell it?
GERWECK.net. Gerwerk.net, your source for pro wrestling news since 1997. You can follow Gerwerk on Twitter at Gerwerk, and you can also follow me on Twitter at Atlee Green. So definitely hit us up and say hi.
Yeah, absolutely. And you can follow me on Twitter and the Fantasy Life app, which is phenomenal. You need to come follow me at AdamWX21. It's football season. It's fantasy football season. Come and check the app out. It is completely free. The community is awesome. I will say this, though. It is a very fun community. Crap will not be tolerated. There'll be no derogatory comments. There'll be no mean comments. We are a very fun-loving community. We all support one another in, you know, life stuff and in football, you know, whatever else. Come and join us. Come have some fun and, you know, really meet some cool people. But, folks, that is going to do it for this edition of the SmackDown Breakdown here at Gerwick.net. For Atlee Green, my name is Adam Cohn, signing off, and we'll see you guys next time. Laters!
For the latest in pro wrestling news, rumors, and opinions, keep it locked at the official YouTube channel of Gerwick.net. That is GERWECK.net. Gerwick.net. Pro wrestling since 1997.